From the Arts Center in downtown Carrboro, this is Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater, a program that has fascinating guests, lively talk and conversation, community news, storytelling, and a look at our local entertainment scene. Good radio and always a few surprises. Now here's Claudio.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning us in. This morning we're doing a show that's very close to my heart, the Carolina Veterans Support Group of North Carolina. I have with me Pat Lloyd, who is the founder, Vietnam veteran Larry James, who is a retired sergeant major, armored company commander Dan Smith, who also teaches taught military history at Appalachian University. I think that's an impressive credential. Jan Jacobson, the new executive director, is here in the studio with us. And also a personal friend, Carolyn Woods, member of the board. We're going to go into bringing them into the conversation in just a few minutes. But first, I'd like to read a statement that I feel covers the plight of this whole scenario. Carolina Veterans Support Group. The plight of our veterans. 1,659 veterans are homeless in North Carolina, and only 182 funded beds are provided. That translates into 1,477 veterans who don't have a bed at night. Think about that. I thought the Veterans Administration took care of our returning warrior veterans. Yes, they do, eventually. But could you afford to wait over 900 days to find a job, to pay rent, or pay your school tuition? Yet, this is the average length of time from discharge from the military until a veteran may receive compensation for their service. There are over 51,000 vets in North Carolina waiting right now. Many may become homeless. Many more cannot find a job. They find they are not always able to adjust to civilian life after surviving months or years of combat in a foreign country. Our vision is to support veteran transition with a focus on training and employment. Our mission is to provide care, transition programs administered by peer volunteers on our proposed Pride in Self campus, and to establish a central information clearinghouse that enables veterans to locate the resources that are in place to serve them. The Pride in Self program consists of five steps. 1. Establish an active safe haven for the veteran. 2. Provide dedicated, caring, and experienced advocates. 3. Ensure a health, healing environment for the veteran. 4. Develop a practical transition plan to help attain personal goals. And finally, present veterans with a multiple opportunities to serve their community and rejoin their families in a loving and supportive manner. Only about 3% of our local population is involved or are even aware of the difficulties our veterans face. Communities will be enriched by the participation of veterans returning to civilian life. They made their contribution to freedom. Let's make a contribution to their recovery and success. Donate to our future Pride in Self campus program. Also, you may volunteer online at www.cvsgnc.org. I think we need to do everything in our power, because our political system is failing us miserably, to help these veterans when they return. To open the show, I'm going to read a piece I wrote some years ago for the veteran, entitled Ravages Unseen. It is a truth in the heart of every soldier that nobody really wins in war. The losses which are most extreme are those within that brace the dream. That in the darkness of war's plight strike dim our sanctuary of light. Where ravages endured unseen struggle to reach for some esteem. It is the weary soldier's lot, our sin of strife to bear. His courage may not be forgot, lest we drink deep of his despair. So welcome from the battlefields of yesterday's remorse. We gratefully extend our hearts and bid your souls upon their course. For any warmth we may exude, come to us as a friend. Together we may conquer all that wars bring to no end. For the soldiers and their families, and all of the innocents.
You're tuned to your community radio station, 103.5 FM, WCOMLP, Chapel Hill and Carrboro.
Duty, freedom, country, family. They're the values that make America strong and what our armed forces are fighting to defend.
While many talk about these ideals without action, they are just empty words.
If you think America's military families deserve more, log on to thanksusa.org. It's a great way to thank our troops and give military families the gift of education.
thanksusa.org. Scholarships for America's military families. You can make a difference.
Your time is important. That's why we thank you for taking us along. We're WCOM Community Radio. Now back to Claudio.
And once again, thank you for joining us. I am here in the studio with the Carolina Veterans Support Group of North Carolina, and I think I'm going to begin with Armored Company Commander Dan Smith. We're going to let this conversation sort of pull itself along. I would just ask that everyone introduce who they are and then go into whatever conversation. One of the things I wanted to bring up, Dan, and we can take this in any direction, but I know that the Vietnam vets and the current war veterans have very different post-traumatic stress disorder symptoms or however one should identify that, and I'm wondering if you could touch on that.
Yeah, absolutely. I grew up in the 70s and 80s, and so my stereotypical vision of a veteran with post-traumatic stress disorder was a person who woke up in the middle of the night sweating and flashbacks and those types of symptoms. And one of the things that when I came back, those weren't my particular symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
My symptoms were more along the lines of hypervigilance, attention deficit, lack of focus.
Hypervigilance translating into defensiveness.
Yes. Mm-hmm. In fact, I'm glad you mentioned that. That's a term that...
That is used.
We're adjusting microphones here, and we're not going to be accepting any phone calls. Pardon me for that. At this point, folks, thank you.
But that's a term that's used for
Go over that again, since we just got the volume right.
Sure. My stereotypical vision of the veteran with post-traumatic stress disorder was the veteran who had trouble sleeping, mm-hmm. Had flashbacks, nightmares.
And I think that's the common man's view.
And so when I returned in 2005, 2006 timeframe, I didn't have any of those specific type of symptoms myself personally. Mm-hmm. So I I thought everything was fine.
You sort of took it for granted.
Yeah, and I figured, well, some people came back with that and some didn't. And my personal symptoms were more like attention deficit and hypervigilance, which, again, I'll kind of define that a little bit.
And let's say very quickly that your experience was with the Iraq War.
Correct, yeah. And this was 2005, 2006 time mm-hmm. frame with Iraq, just coming back from Iraq. So the hypervigilance is constantly being on alert. And the environment that I was in Iraq was constantly being on alert.
No doubt.
In several different types of situations. So it's kind of hard to turn that off immediately when you get back. But there again, they weren't the stereotypical post-traumatic stress disorder symptoms. So, I kind of thought everything was fine.
Well, and, I think the public, to a great extent, as well as our political system, seems to take for granted that you can't just go from hot to cold.
Right.
And be expected to survive equally.
Right. So even though my symptoms were different, they were still symptoms. And it just, it took me a while to realize what was going on. And, my goal is to help that transition. If anybody is out there now that is going through that and maybe has gone through 3, 4, 5, 6 years later and still hasn't sought some kind of help, then they definitely need to.
This is what you see in as the role of the veteran support group, yeah.
Absolutely.
I know you said that you wound up in some pretty dramatic situations with your family because of things that came out of you later, maybe psychological emergencies that you hadn't foreseen by trying to ignore it and just come back into civilian life. And I imagine it took its toll on you.
Well, in any, family situation, I mean, if you've got somebody that's constantly impatient, on edge, anger management issues mm-hmm. That all have to do with these, then it's definitely, it took its toll on me, and I'm sure it has on many other families. And then, luckily I had a very good family support group, and system in place, and I tried to envision maybe single soldiers, soldiers that end up where they don't have family that don't,
mm-hmm.
And maybe, that's where what leads some to suicide, the suicide epidemic.
We're you were even veterans. Telling me that the current suicide rate, as far as we know, is that there are 22 suicides a day.
Which is shocking.
It is.
It's terrible. That ultimately, the Carolina Veterans Support Group, at least in North Carolina, we'd like to do everything we can to help that transition.
No doubt.
Minimize that number, and let's help these folks.
I can't even imagine the psychological devastations that would lead to that, but I certainly realize fully that they exist, and I think it's something that we as the people need to embrace more. Even if our politicians don't, we need to kick their butts and put them in proper perspective. Let's go over to the post-traumatic stress disorder aspect of returning from Vietnam, if you don't mind. Larry James, retired Sergeant Major.
Yes, Claudio, my name is Sergeant Major James, and I don't think that post-traumatic stress is too different from anywhere, because post-traumatic stress is caused by incidents that cause stress. Somebody trying to kill you, you're trying to kill somebody else, you evidence some traumatic things, and you see that.
In some of the worst ways possible, yes.
Yes, and you see people blown apart and all that kind of stuff. You just can't, and that happened in Vietnam just like it did in the desert.
Absolutely.
The bottom line is, if you're crawling through the jungle with snakes and Viet Cong shooting at you, or you kicking doors in the desert, same situation.
And you just don't know what's next, right?
You don't know what's next. In my particular case, I'm just quick. The temper thing, I really got to the point that anybody looking over my shoulder, trying to tell me what to do, instantly I would go into, look, I don't need that. I've demonstrated that I can get through stressful situations, tough situations in my life. Let me do that. Get out of my way.
Mm-hmm.
And let me get it done. I didn't realize I had a problem. My doctor referred me, my general physician referred me to see somebody about stress, post-traumatic stress. And when they saw me, gave me some written tests and did the things that they had to do, they identified that. But the thing that we want to do now, Claudio, is I was in recruiting also, and my moniker was the Bulldog Battalion. I was a sergeant major for several battalions. I worked in Richmond, Virginia, Phoenix, Arizona, Los Angeles, Milwaukee, and I ended up in Raleigh. And I ran some very successful organizations because I had very successful non-commissioned officers.
Mm-hmm.
They would listen to what we had to say. They were impassioned to put people in the Army. And I see that as a funnel. The top of the funnel we're feeding people in, and the bottom of the funnel, people are coming out, the people that we're talking about today. Mm-hmm. They got in, did a wonderful job in the military, were very honorable, care about themselves, very passionate about what they were doing. Now they trickle out of the funnel, and they say, what do I do next?
Coming back with psychological devastations, limbs missing, and
sometimes, and
yes.
Sometimes not. Coming back in perfect conditions, full of gleam and hope for the future, and nobody will harm, nobody will direct them, nobody tells them what to do with the VA. Over a course of time, a person will finally figure out, I have to go to the VA and do this. Years of loss. We don't want to lose anybody. And the moniker in the military was, nobody is ever left behind. Mm-hmm. If somebody is wounded or killed, they will come back. That is a passion that's in every soldier. But once we're discharged and we come back to civilian life, guess what?
This is where you're left behind.
You're left behind. And right. we need to clean that up. And that's what we are doing with Carolina Veteran Support. We want to transition that person into a good quality of life where they can go forward and be successful.
Absolutely. And they have to be transitioned. There's no other way through the tunnel.
There's no other way. Some people, some persons that get out will not need to transition. They'll just go forward and they'll be successful
over
time.
The exception to the rule, I would say.
The exception. There are others, the big number, that will need help.
Mm-hmm.
And the VA does a wonderful job. I love the VA. But there are little links in the VA that we need to tweak a little bit, and we can help tweak them. We're soldiers. We don't quit today. We keep
right.
working until we get it done.
Yeah, and that maintains, I mean, your spirit maintains that sense of
exactly.
that sense of self. And so to come back and reestablish a sense of worth in an environment that's completely different once again. I imagine an environment that some people cannot even relate to anymore when they come back.
That's exactly right. My dad and three of his brothers in World War II, Korean War, had an uncle. And I would sit on the porch every Saturday morning, and I would listen to them talk about their adventures in the military during war. Man, I was incensed with the desire to be in the military. I was a big guy, strong, played basketball and football. I got a scholarship and went to college, went to Elizabeth City State University. And I stayed there and played football for 1 year. And, man, yes. Vietnam was going hot and heavy, and I volunteered for airborne infantry, and I was ready to go. And all my brothers and sisters did the same. So I have a passion. Not only for the military, who is my family, but for my real family, mm-hmm. to make sure things are put in place and that we can make things work.
Absolutely. And yet, on the other hand, just to look at both sides of the coin, we have a situation where you're defending our liberties and the way of life in the United States, and yet our political system and our governmental system is corrupting on every angle and really not making the way of life that you're defending worthwhile when you return.
Well, Claudio, I won't say that. But well. I will say this. I will say that we need to tweak the system some more, and we need to be more helpful, not with passion, but with results from the federal government. I believe everyone in the system has passion and empathy for soldiers,
mm-hmm.
but that doesn't buy the loaf of bread. We
no,
need
it doesn't.
Action. We need to put the words and the emotion into action.
We don't need to be under street bridges.
That's exactly right.
I'm going to bring forth Jan Jacobson. Jan, just pull your chair up here if you'd like, or use that mic. That mic should work. There we go. I know you can take us a little further down the road here. So.
Yeah, my name is Jan Jacobson, and I am the new executive director for CVSG. And the enthusiasm and the determination of these men who've served our country just overwhelms me. One of the stories, I spent a lot of time at the VA, the Veterans Hospital here in Durham. Not here in Durham, but close. With Pat Lloyd, our founder, and many times I talked to people there. One of the conversations that I had reminds me a bit of Dan Smith. I keep hearing so many veterans deny that they have PTSD. So I kind of got to the point where I would ask, and I was speaking to a young man who'd had three tours. I think it was two in Iraq and one in Afghanistan. And I said, oh, do you have PTSD? And he looked at me and started laughing. And I'm, of course, a little confused because that's a rather rare response.
I would say.
And I said, I'm confused. And he said, well, let me kind of clue you in. He said, when I got back, he said, I absolutely, positively did not have PTSD. And he said, unfortunately, my wife disagreed strongly. My wife is a psychiatrist, he said, and she kept trying to convince me that I do have PTSD. And it took about 3 years before it finally dawned on me that, yes, in fact, I absolutely do. So I have both sides of the coin. Now that I'm aware of it, I am doing things to help PTSD, and he said it's a long struggle. So my dedication to the CVSG group is to try to work through, in the best way we can, the transitioning that most of the veterans who come out either hopefully find a fairly good support group, but many come back and have no one that has a clue or can understand what they've gone through.
Give us a point of contact for anyone that would want to turn to you for help.
CVSG, the best and easiest way would be to go to our website, www.cvsgnc.org. And there'll be phone numbers and contact points and information available. So hopefully many of you will check out our website and give us a call or ask us questions.
And, of course, anyone's welcome to go to my website, that's claudioarts.com, and contact me, and I can certainly initiate communications. Let's give the mic to Pat Lloyd for a moment, the founder of the Carolina Veterans Support Group of North Carolina. Would you like to make any statement about, I know you're the idea man behind all this, and I know you've got some amazing people on your chessboard, but I thought we'd like to hear from the founder, the establisher himself.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity just simply to spread the word about the plight or the condition of veterans, both the elderly like myself and the young ones like Dan. It's a matter, in my mind, I see veterans as being marginalized, okay, and there is a definite need, as Larry has so eloquently stated, to transition the veterans back into society.
Absolutely.
So that they become a tax-paying member of society rather than what some people think is a burden. Okay? Now, one of the things they always talk about is the Veterans Administration, and I want to tell you from having gone almost daily, it seems, at some times, you will not find a better group of professional people at the Durham Medical Center and Salisbury, and I'm sure the rest of them, than you will the people who work at the Veterans Administration. Now, the Veterans Administration is having some problems with processing. For example, I think the current time required to process a benefit application is over 900 days. Hence the use of the word marginalized.
Yes, indeed.
Because if it's over 900 days, you don't have a benefit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay? But that's neither here nor there. That's what Larry and Dan and the rest of our group are trying so hard to help the Veterans Administration assuage some of that difficulty. This may be a good time to point out, or may not, but we'll do it anyway. On the website, you'll see a program or a link that says Vet to Vet. And in essence, what I'm saying is we are not Democrats, we are not Republicans, we're not Tea Party, we're veterans.
Right.
We're not white, we're not black, we're not green, we're not brown, we're veterans. We're not Methodist, we're not Baptist, we're not Muslim, we're not Jewish, we are veterans. And that is in the same context as Larry's emphasis on leave no man behind.
Absolutely.
Okay. What happens in many cases is our needs get diluted because of, as you said, a political identification.
It's almost like you're being used as pieces on a chessboard.
And a 501c3, as I understand it, the IRS requires, one, that we educate the public, which is what we're doing this morning.
Absolutely.
And number two, that we not participate in any political organization, which we're doing by stating we are not politicians.
Absolutely, yes.
Okay. So I am so happy. I got this dream in October of 2010. It was almost like an epiphany. I looked at the people at the VA hospital, and you could see by their posture they had given up.
Oh, Lord, yeah.
And I thought to myself, something has to be done. And I might be in the same boat as they, but I'm not afraid to speak. And so I began to sort of preach the gospel according to Pat and have been fortunate enough fortunate, in capital letters, to reach out and touch people like the ones that you have here in your studio this morning. So with that, I'll turn it all back over to the people who really get things done.
Let's turn it over to Carolyn for a moment. Just want to introduce her. And thank you for that. That was very educational. Carolyn, welcome. You're the one that approached me with the idea of doing this show, which I thought right off was a marvelous idea and much needed. And whatever you'd like to add to the commentary, please do.
Well, I just want to make a point that we're still kind of a fledgling organization, and we're going to require a lot more in the way of volunteerism.
Absolutely.
And, of course, we're going to need financial help as we go along, too. So we're trying to come up with any way that we can to lift our visibility to the public and let people know that we exist and what our vision is and what our mission is. And hopefully that people will go to the website, become acquainted with us, and find some time maybe in their lives to volunteer. We're trying to do a peer program for veterans. Mm-hmm. So if there are any veterans out there that feel like they can make a contribution by volunteering, we would love to hear from them. And
I would imagine contributions in general would be welcome.
They would be extremely welcome. Yes they would. Mm-hmm. We're also trying to attempt some fundraising events this year, too. So if there are any people out there that have a fundraising event that they would like to invite us to, we'd be more than happy to, to respond to that.
Wonderful idea. Rocco, how about we go to a little jazz music just to ease things up, and we'll be right back with some more of what's going on. The contact again would be www.cvsgnc.org.
WCOM, your voice in our community of Carrboro and Chapel Hill.
Thank you. Look around you. 1 in 4 kids in the U.S. faces hunger. It's not always easy to see the signs, but in this land of plenty, there are kids who don't know where they'll get their next meal. Join Share Our Strength and take the pledge to end childhood hunger here in America by 2015. Learn how at nokidhungry.org. Their next meal could come from you.
You're listening to WCOM, broadcasting from the Arts Center in Carrboro. Thank you so much for listening. Now more of Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater.
And I'm here in the studio with the Carolina Veterans Support Group of North Carolina, with Pat Lloyd, Larry James, Carolyn Woods, Dan Smith, and Jan Jacobson, the new executive director. We're going through what the Carolina Veterans Support Group is all about, how it can solicit more public support and involvement, overall volunteerism. And Rocco, you had an interesting point to bring up that we have not touched on yet.
Claudio, I'd like to bring this out. Being a veteran myself, I agree completely with Dan and Larry, Jan, Pat, Carolyn, all of you, with what you're saying. I think there's another aspect out there that a lot of people don't realize. And when they hear the word veteran, they don't realize how many veterans there are and how many of us are out there. And they always seem to think people that have nothing to do with being a veteran or have never been in the service, when they think of the problems or they think of veterans, it's always in another place far away from them. Mm-hmm. But they don't realize if they walk into a Walmart or a supermarket or anywhere that the veterans are all around them. And there's just, I don't know how many veterans there are alive in the country. It must be 30 to 40 million people. And the non-veteran people, they don't realize that when they are checking out of that supermarket line, that maybe that person in front of them or behind them is a war veteran. And they just don't realize that.
Excellent point. I'm almost wondering if it wouldn't be appropriate to have some even subtle symbol of reflecting that on the person, something, a badge or something these people can wear to be less left out by society. I don't know if that's a good idea at all, but it would seem to me that it might be helpful for the public consciousness to have something symbolic that identifies this person as a veteran.
Claudio, I don't know. This is Sergeant Major Larry James, retired. I don't know if that would be good or bad. But I know this. I know that the general public sometimes thinks that veterans are getting too many benefits. But let me say this. There's over 300 million people in America. I don't know the exact number, 360, mm-hmm. 350 million. 6 million people are receiving care from the Veterans Center. What percent of 360 million is that?
Right.
Less than 2%?
Yeah.
Something like that? So less than 2% of the veterans in America are being treated by the VA. That's a small number for democracy. I think that is a very small number. And again, transitioning from the Army to civilian life to be back in the system again and paying tax is a very important thing. Mm-hmm. And this service that we're trying to do today is going to do that. And for all you Bulldogs out there listening, a lot of you are in Chapel Hill in these areas that used to work in the Raleigh Recruiting Battalion. Remember that the legs are strong to support America. The eyes are intense, and we have a desire to succeed. That does not go away with your service. It's still there. That gleam is still in your eye, and we want to support America. Even though sometimes it looks kind of dismal, get that back strong and come on back and let's support the veterans here at Carolina Veterans Support Group.
No one left behind needs to be our own public mantra.
That's exactly
right. To see this to fulfillment. There's just too much left in the dark.
That's right.
Let's go over to you.
Well, one of the things that we were talking about during the break was our attempt is not to duplicate any services.
Right.
Everybody that assists veterans at the VA, at other organizations, everybody is well-intentioned. I think one of the things that they just may be overwhelmed right now. I mean, the number of service members coming back and exiting the military is pretty high, and so they're just overwhelmed. One of the things that I do want to mention is that personally how my transition or lengthy transition over the course of, you know, 3 or 4 years.
Journey through the rabbit hole.
Could have been shortened. Eventually I sought some help on the internet and picked up the phone and actually happened upon the Raleigh Vet Center, which is on Old Lewisburg Road in Raleigh.
And you made this move on your own.
I
think, depend on being pushed or advised.
Exactly. And so I picked up the phone, called somebody and said, hey, I need to talk to somebody. If anything out of this, I'd like to reach the veterans out there that may not realize there's a place that they can go, that they can just pick up the phone and call. They made an appointment, go down there, show them my DD-214, which is the document any veteran knows that just shows your proof of service, and went through a couple of years of counseling. It didn't cost me a dime. Very extremely helpful in transition.
It didn't cost you in currency that we know of. It cost you plenty
other ways, so that's a resource that's out there that not a whole lot of veterans know about, and it's a great resource. So again, we're not attempting to duplicate anything that they're doing already. They've got great counselors. We're not attempting to duplicate anything the VA is doing. There's just seems to be a slight gap in the transition plans.
I understand.
Veterans are coming out of the service in the worst economy. Well, it's picking up now, but in the worst economy in the last 90-100 years, and it's not easy to pick up the phone, get a job, into a job that a veteran with recent combat experience can do the next day.
I'd like to say, just as we are a nation of laws that lives by laws, and not knowing the law is no excuse, I would say that befalls the military as well. Being inundated is no excuse for not taking care of these people. And it is definitely something that is suffering at the current hands responsible, and we need to do a lot more about it. We, the people, need to stand up and push these people to do their jobs. Ultimately, it's our government. We are in control of it. We need to kick their butts and get them to do the right thing. And that's just the way I want to put it right now.
And like we mentioned, everybody is well-intentioned. My experience with the VA.
There's a certain road that's paved with that, right?
My experience has been fairly good. We definitely, Larry, you can tell from hearing us talk, we're not bitter.
I understand I'm sure there are those that have been left.
There are some
chewed apart
that I'm sure that are bitter. But as you can tell from hearing us, we're very. I guarantee, if you asked either, we wouldn't do anything different about our experience in the military. And most of the veterans are the same way.
And this is also the reason you're standing up to try and bring these people home with a lot more sense and pride and self.
Right.
And establish something that can aid this and support this.
Everyone that's a veteran has some great potential, and it pains me to see the struggle with the transition from military to civilian life.
Absolutely. So. I think Jan Jacobson has something to add to this.
Yes. Back to some funny stories. One of the other stories that came up that kind of really focuses on how both good and not always so good. I was in neurology department and spending some time again with Pat Lloyd at the VA hospital. One of the people behind the desk that were doing the check-ins and check-outs spoke to her for a while, and I asked where she's from, and she's from Fayetteville. And I said, well, that's quite a ways to drive all the way from Fayetteville to Durham. And she said, yes, but the worst part is I have to leave my husband. And I said, well, I'm a little confused. She said, well, my husband was injured in 2003, 100% disabled, mostly bedbound, wheelchair. He has to have full-time, 24/7 care. Mm. And she said, so what happens is this is the only job I could get that would pay me enough money to be able to have his care and still make ends meet. And I said, I'm a little confused. Are you aware that there is something called a caregiver program since 2001? For veterans that have full disability? And she said, I have no clue that existed. And I said, well, go on the website and go here. And I kind of pointed her to the right direction. She looked at what I was trying to show her, and there is a full caregiver program that was set up by the VA for just her circumstances. The irony is that the good news is that it's set up for people like her. The bad news, working at the VA hospital, she had absolutely no knowledge or clue that something like that even existed.
How uncanny. Good Lord. That's, yeah, and that just goes to pointing out what you're saying, the communication, the outreach overall.
The communication and sometimes the lack of the actual services that are being provided by the VA that people don't know how to find. So that's another area that we do try to help veterans with, if there's something that we can see that we know about, or try to point them in the right direction.
Absolutely. Let's give the microphone to Pat Lloyd.
To follow up with Jan and excuse me, and Dan's comments, there is a phase of CVSG that we would like everyone to know about, and that is, and I'll give you an example, the Veterans Administration has a beautiful website, and it includes approximately 290 links to various services. But there's no rhyme or reason or organization to the 290 websites.
Oh, goodness.
So we have developed a project, very simple, food, clothing, shelter, medical, education, and jobs, and let's take the 290 and put them in those six categories.
Mm-hmm.
So when somebody visits the website, they don't have to end up giving up. Not because it's not there, but they can't find it. Okay? Now, a last statement from me, and I'll turn it back to everybody else. Dan was making some comments about the Veterans Center, and I'm going for the first time next week. I am one of those that suffered from a lack of knowledge. Okay? I came back to the States in 1968. I didn't realize until 1990-something that I suffered from PTSD. I thought I was just an SOB. Excuse the French. Okay? I went through two marriages, two families, 38 jobs, lived in a truck, lived in a barn. And what is my goal for CVSG? Nobody in the future should have to face that kind of a life. No one. Thank you.
Bravo. Bravo, absolutely.
See ya.
Dan, are you back on the mic, or Larry James?
And Pat hit a very salient point. That goes right back to nobody's left behind, and it took him that long to discover that he was being left behind, gravely left behind.
Yeah, that certainly makes the statement.
Now look at this. We do a lot of good work. Let's take ramps. I belong to another organization, Serve the Need in Johnston County.
Mm-hmm.
And there are the Baptist Christian men, the Baptist men, and the guys in Fayetteville to go out and build ramps. My organization does the same. We go out and build ramps not only for veterans, but for anybody that's in need and cannot afford to have a ramp, we build a ramp so they can come down the ramp. Once they get down the ramp, where do they go? You see?
Right.
Where does the ramp lead? We have to find out where they go from at the end of the ramp. Do they go to a transition center and get some more help, or what? We leave them at the end of the ramp.
Right. Yeah.
You see my point?
Absolutely.
And that's what we're trying to do.
I think Carolyn has something to add. No. Good point.
Just to further illustrate.
Carolyn, take that microphone right up a little further.
Just to further illustrate some of the things that we're attempting to do. We recently have had a volunteer come to our board who is whose expertise is in writing resumes. And he's willing to work with veterans on rebuilding their resumes and making them a little more job specific and very concise. And he has a very high success rate with writing resumes. So we're very fortunate to have people with these skills that are coming to volunteer and help with our veterans to get them back into the workforce.
So that's another aspect that can be offered by Carolina Veteran Support Group.
The reason for that is one of the things that we discovered was that veterans are being charged $500 to $2,500 for a resume.
Good Lord.
And we sat there and couldn't believe it. So Jan Jacobs and I began to investigate, and it was the truth. So this gentleman has volunteered. That's what he does for a living. But he has volunteered to come and work with us to teach a group of future volunteers, we hope,
mm-hmm.
so that we can instruct the veterans in how to develop and prepare a resume without any charge.
Absolutely. Well stated. Back to you, Dan. Anything you'd like to add? We've got about 5 more minutes to wrap up the show. So any point of contact, anything that we want to put out to the give out to the public as far as helping them, especially our veterans, to get help, please do so in the next 5 minutes.
The biggest thing I can say is, number one, seek help, especially those that are going through some serious issues that you don't know what you don't know. Sometimes it's hard to realize that, but if you've been through the experiences and are having some trouble with transition, start out with our website. If you need immediate counseling, go to the Veterans Affairs Hospital in Durham. There's a OEF, which is Operation Enduring Freedom, OIF, Operation Iraqi Freedom, section at that hospital that I guarantee you, if you show up there and say, hey, I'm having some serious issues, they will help you.
And initially just get on the computer and type in whatever you're looking for. I think if you even just use the word veterans, something's going to come up to help you.
If you're within the sound of my voice here locally, there are resources immediately. The VA hospital in Durham and the Raleigh Vet Center that I mentioned can help you immediately. If you're in other places, seek help.
You more than qualify. If you've been at the war abroad, you more than qualify. There is no. You need not ask yourself any question as to whether or not this is the right thing to do.
And we hope that you will contact us at www.cvsgnc.org. And if you are here at the Veterans Hospital and you're going back to Johnston County, look at Serve the Need in Johnston County website. Extensive website that can put you back in contact with us. And before the show ends, you'll get a contact here at the show that Cardio and the guys will be able to get you hooked up also. But remember, be brave, be tough, use the same skills that you used in the Army, being on time, knowing your job, and the old adage, be no do. Be tactically and technically proficient. Know what it is that you want to do and do the job. It works the same way in civilian life.
It is time to be vigilant on your own behalf.
That's exactly right.
You've given your service. Now take care of yourself.
That's
be vigilant on your own behalf.
Exactly.
After that sentence, I'm almost hesitant to mention our great need of volunteers. And in one category, we really need help. And in grant writing and in seeking the kinds of grants that can really, really do the kind of help for the veterans that we need. Our organization does need this type of help, and if there's anyone out there within our listening voice here, I would absolutely adore talking to you. If you have that capability or talent or know someone that does, please, please get in contact with us. Again, you've heard all of the information so far, so I'll turn it back over to Claudio.
And unless anybody else has something to add, I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up. I want to remind you folks one more time. The website is www.cvsgnc.org, and that should initiate many steps in the right direction. I want to thank all of you folks for being here on Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater. If anybody else has anything more to add, please do so right now.
Thank you very much for having us here. There are many veterans that will benefit from your service, and without you spreading the word, we wouldn't have a means in this particular area. Thank you again.
My pleasure, and consider yourself part of the Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater family at this point. We'll do more shows on this subject. This is very close to my heart and something I want to maintain. I do want to mention that you can donate through this website, www.cvsgnc.org. They are set up to go through PayPal, Visa, MasterCard, and Discover Card. Just want to mention that. So donations are much, much needed, as is volunteerism. This is the right thing to do. Thank you for tuning us in. This is Claudio Speakeasy in Radio Theater, signing off. Until next time, cheers.